Senate will come to order, please, for the 24th legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers?
The roll shows 18 members present. Senator Rohde is excused from the call of the Senate. One is absent.
Thank you. There is a quorum present to conduct business this morning. This morning's chaplain is Senator Eliason. Would all please stand for the invocation?
God of the nations, we come to thee in humble petition for our nation, for the honest rights of men and women who do the labor of the world, for the clean ambition of upright employers, for integrity in government and in the halls of legislation, for places where all the children, sick and poor, may play, for the care of the sick and the prevention of disease and pain, for the beauty of the cleansed countryside and the glory of redeemed cities, for the enrichment of our schools, for the purity of undefiled religion in our churches. These, O God, are our desires and our prayer for our nation. In thee, amen.
Senator Abood, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 23rd legislative day?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 23rd legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous assent that the journal for the 23rd legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the journal for the 23rd legislative day is approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. Madam Secretary, will you note Senator Josephson's presence in the chambers this morning? Do we have introduction of guests? Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. It's indeed an honor and privilege to welcome students that are participating in the close-up program, and it's very enjoyable for me to introduce people that are from the Lake and Penn School District and representing the community of Port Allsworth, Laura Wilder, and from Chignik Bay, Walter Stepanoff, and from Non-Dalton, we have Julie Delkitty, and the accompanying teacher is also from Non-Dalton, Lynn Heeb. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm also pleased and proud to have many students and a few teachers from some of our school districts. From the Cuspuck School District, Lydia Gusty from Stony River, Frank Natty from Sleep Mute, and the teacher from Red Devil, Molly Faulkner. And also from the Yukon Flats School District, Stephanie Alexander from Fort Yukon, Marcy Williams from Venati, and Rod Weston, the teacher from Venati also. Please welcome to the Senate.
Senator Hensley.
Madam President, I also have some guests from my district. These students come from the Bering Strait School District with a close-up program. Sarah Tuktu from Shishmaref, Paula Miumik from St. Michael's, Sheila Odinzoff from Stebbins, and Jill Stanley, a teacher from Stebbins. Please welcome them.
Senator Eliason.
Madam President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a distinguished guest here this morning from the community of Metlakatla. He's the former mayor of that city, and he happens to be the father of Janie Leisk and the father-in-law of House Member Pat Porchot, and he's also a former member of the University of Washington basketball teams a few years ago, Wally Leisk.
Are there further introduction of guests? Senator Sturgeon.
Yes, I see a longtime friend. I don't know quite what group she's with. Was formerly my first Senate district constituent and a good friend and a master teacher, Daisy Lee Bitter, who is Homer High now, is it?
Further introduction of guests. a special pleasure to have all of you join us in the Senate today. It's a special pleasure to have you close-up students with us. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're visiting the Senate, and we hope you learn a lot about our government process when you're here and take it back to your home, towns, and villages. Do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated February 2nd. Dear Madam President, the House respectfully invites the Senate to meet in joint session in the House chamber on February 8 at 11 a.m. to hear an address by the Honorable Frank Murkowski, U.S. Senator for Alaska. Sincerely, Irene Cash and Chief Clerk of the House.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we accept the invitation of the House to joint session.
Without objection, the Senate will accept the House's invitation to hear U.S. Senator Frank Murkowski in joint session on, could you repeat the date?
Yes, February 8th at 11 a.m.
February 8th at 11 a.m. So that'll be next Monday at 11 a.m. Would you notify the House, please, Madam Secretary, without objection?
That is all the messages from the House this morning, Madam President.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications this morning.
Brings us to reports of standing committees.
The Transportation Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 38 commending the Alaska Marine Highway System for 25 years of service. Majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Abood, Kelly, and Coghill. There is a zero fiscal note attached. There is no further referral on Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 38.
Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 141, Hazardous Painting Certification, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 141, Judiciary, with a new title, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Kurtula, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson and Sturgiluski. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. The committee attaches a new fiscal note. There is a further re-referral of Senate Bill Number 141 to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 276, issuance of a brewery license. A majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 276, Judiciary, with a new title, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Kurtula, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Fakes, and Sturgiluski. There are two new zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 276 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 360, repealing the termination date of the Delta Junction Bison Range area. A majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Senate Bill Number 360, Resources, with a new title and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Fisher, Duncan, Eliason, and Sturgiluski. There is a new fiscal note attached. There is no further referral on Senate Bill Number 360.
360 will refer to the Rules Committee for the consideration of the calendar.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 366, establishing rebates for motor fuel taxes for fuel used in watercraft outside the state and limiting the authority of the Attorney General and the Department of Revenue to recover refunds paid before the effective date of this act and providing for an effective date. And a majority of the committee recommended it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Fanning, Sturgiluski, and Fisher. Senator Eliason signed, needs amending. Senator Duncan signed, no recommendation. There is a new fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 366 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 51 relating to alcohol, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 51, Rules, with a new title and calendar. The committee also attached four new zero fiscal notes. The majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring Senators Jones, Binkley, and Fakes. Senate Bill Number 51 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 51 requesting a support services priority for American carriers and bulk fuel suppliers servicing foreign processing vessels in the exclusive economic zone, and the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Binkley, Hensley, and Jones. SJR 51 is on today's calendar. That is all the standing committee reports this morning, Madam President.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Brings us to the introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 60 by Senators Coghill, Fanning, and Fakes, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to terms of legislators.
This is going to be referred to the Judiciary Committee. If the State Affairs Chairman wishes to have this as a further referral, will he notify me, please?
That is all the resolutions for introduction this morning.
This brings us to the introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 387 by Senators Hensley, Fakes, Sturgalewski, Kelly, and Kutula entitled, An Act Relating to Contributions from Permanent Fund Dividends for the Iditarod Trail Committee Incorporated and Providing for an Effective Date.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee, the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill Number 388 by Senators Hensley, Binkley, and Jaroff entitled, An Act Relating to Entitlements for Municipalities and Unincorporated Communities and Providing for an Effective Date.
Community and Regional Affairs, Finance Committee.
Senate Bill Number 389 by Senators Binkley, Hensley, Abood, Jaroff, Sturgalewski, and Fahrenkamp entitled, An Act Relating to Rewards to Promote the Apprehension and Conviction of Certain Offenders, Providing for an Effective Date.
This will be referred to the Finance Committee. There are judicial implications here. With the Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, we'll look at this bill and see if he needs this referral, if he will notify me. Thank you, sir. So 389 will be formally referred to the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill Number 390 by Senators Binkley, Hensley, Abood, Jaroff, Sturgalewski, and Fahrenkamp entitled, An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Public Safety for a reward program to promote the apprehension and conviction of persons who violate certain alcohol control laws and providing for an effective date.
Again, this bill will be referred formally to the Finance Committee for consideration, but again, the Judiciary Chairman has the option of requesting this bill.
Senate Bill Number 391 by Senator Rohde entitled, An Act Relating to the Sale of Wine by Wineries.
Labor and Commerce, Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 392 by Senators Halford, Fakes, Kelly, Sturgalewski, Hensley, Abood, Fisher, Jones, Josephson, and Euling entitled, An Act Relating to Delinquent Loans of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance Committee.
Senate Bill Number 393 by Senator Coghill entitled, An Act Relating to Corrective Management of Threatened Stocks of Fish and Game.
Resources Committee.
Senate Bill Number 394 by Senators Coghill and Fanning entitled, An Act Relating to Appointments to the Boards of Fisheries and Game.
Resources Committee.
That is all the bills for introduction this morning.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 51 by Senator Binkley, An Act Relating to Alcohol. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommend due pass with 4-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Senator Euling, Vice Chairman, concurring Senator Josephson, Hensley, and Fakes. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Halford and Kutula. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Kutula, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Josephson, and Sturgalewski. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Duncan, Ewing, and Fisher. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 Rules, new title, and attaches 4-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, chairman, concurring Senators Jones, Binkley, and Fakes. I have a committee substitute.
Mr. Rules Chairman.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 be considered in lieu of the original bill and note the title change.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 has been adopted with the title change.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 51 Rules by the Rules Committee, an act increasing the penalty for certain unlicensed manufacture, sale, possession, or barter of alcoholic beverages.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Are there any amendments? Mr. Majority Leader, move us to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 Rules be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place in final passage.
hearing no objections, committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 Rules is before us in final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 51 Rules, an act increasing the penalty for certain unlicensed manufacture, sale, possession, or barter of alcoholic beverages.
Discussion. Senator Binkley.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I'd just like to speak to Senate Bill 51. It's familiar to many of the members. I know it's been through the State Affairs Committee, the HES Committee, the Judiciary Committee, the Finance Committee, and we worked it through all that process last year. It got due passes in each of those committees, so it's fairly familiar to the members, but I might just outline again. It's a brief bill. Basically, what it does is it changes the penalty for violating in a local option community the local option of banning the sale of alcohol in that community from a misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor, to a Class C felony. The problem that has arose over the years, Madam President, I think it was demonstrated in a recent bootlegging bust that took place in Bethel just yesterday, is that many of the violations that occur in regards to bootlegging, when they're caught the first time, a first-time offense is simply a misdemeanor. And there are very light sentences that are applied, or sometimes no jail time at all, in first offense bootlegging. And we're not talking about people who are recreational bootleggers. We're talking about people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and even as much as millions of dollars, off a trade that leaves a literal trail of destruction and death and despair across rural Alaska. And it's unconscionable that many times these people are let off with what amounts to a slap on the wrist for causing such destruction and despair in Alaska. And I think it's important that we send a strong message out to those people that we're not going to tolerate it. If you're caught bootlegging, if it's the first time, you're going to serve some time in jail, and you're going to pay a penalty. Madam President, in the recent bootlegging bust out in Bethel, as an example, there were 5 different search warrants that were issued as a result, and also 43 different arrest warrants. Of those 43 arrest warrants, only 9 were felony arrests and 34 were misdemeanor arrest warrants. And that kind of serves as an example of these 34 arrest warrants. Many of these are as a result of it being their first offense of bootlegging. Not that it's the first time they bootleg, but it's the first time that they've been caught at it. And you'll see out of this situation very light penalties that arise, and it will simply, all it does is serve to educate the bootlegger in how not to get caught. Once they've been through the system, once they've been caught by the police, this police have spent the many thousands of dollars and many man hours that they have to set up a legalized buy system where they can catch somebody actually selling alcohol. They go through the court system, they're given a slap on the wrist, they're back out on the streets, and they know exactly how to do it the next time to not get caught. We even had a case in Bethel, we have over the many years, of a group that was outside of Bethel, even outside of the country. There were foreign nationals that had came into the country, worked out of Anchorage primarily. They would send people out to Bethel. They would sell alcohol, tremendously large business, generated a huge amount of revenue off that. When any one of them would get caught, they only got a misdemeanor, they'd simply send that person back, replace them with somebody else out there in the ring. So we never were able to get substantive jail time or substantive penalties on these individuals. They simply rotated another person through that community, reaping the benefits, huge benefits. We're talking about alcohol that sells, a bottle of whiskey that may sell in Anchorage for $6 or $8 a bottle, selling in Bethel for $50 or $60 a bottle, Madam President, in the villages $100 to $120 a bottle. Huge profits realized by these people who prey on the weaknesses of others. And I think it's time, and through this legislation, we're going to send a strong message to those people that we're not going to tolerate it. Madam President, as we're all aware, this piece of legislation, nor any one single piece of legislation, is going to solve the problem of alcohol abuse in rural Alaska. It's just simply one step. I know the Senator from Eagle River introduced legislation recently that's another step in that direction. And I think we have to do what we can. We can't, by legislation, we can't stop people who are going to abuse alcohol, who are bent on doing that, but at least we can provide some penalties for those who profit off the misfortune of others. Thank you very much, Madam President.
Senator Howell.
Thank you, Madam President. There is another benefit of this legislation that I came across in looking at the question of the Postal Service, and that is that the Postal Service won't take action on a misdemeanor if it deals with something shipped through the mails. They will take action on a felony, and this substantially will help in getting federal allies in our battle.
Senator Curtillo.
To Senator Halford.
Yes, sir.
Your postal effort that you just brought into, is that subsidized presently if they ship parcel post, or is the federal government actually subsidizing the pushing of booze?
Senator Halford.
It is very definitely subsidized. Thank you.
Further debate? Discussion? Senator Szymanski.
Brief at ease, please.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. Senate will come back to order. We have committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 rules before us in final passage. We are under debate. Is there further debate on Senate Bill 51? Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President, I just wanted to reiterate something that the Senator from Bethel stated, and that is the fact that there is no one panacea to resolve the problem of alcohol, but it is leaving a great deal of tragedy behind, a lot of social cost, and I might add that as an example of what we're trying to do up north, despite all the problems we've had with a certain contractor on that road job, we know that wherever there is any excess funds, that there's going to be problems with both the drugs and alcohol. But this contractor has had a no drugs and alcohol policy. They do screening. Everybody who goes to work on that road project knows that they cannot have drugs or alcohol in their system or in their possession. And Madam President, for those communities that are willing to take the step to go dry, to not sell alcohol within the environs of their community, I think they need some help. And we know it's a two-way street, both on the part of those who consume alcohol as well as those who profit by the selling of alcohol. And in our community, a town of almost 4,000 people, for the first time in many years, they decided to stop the selling of alcohol commercially. They didn't go all the way. You can have it in your own possession. But we think for those communities in surrounding Kotzebue that have decided to ban not only the possession but the sale of alcohol as well, they need some support. And we want to give a message to those who would purvey alcohol that there's going to be a substantial penalty, and that's one of the purposes of this legislation.
Senator Sturgeluski.
A question I've had for a long time, and I simply don't know the answer, but why is it that you walk into the international airport and you see at certain of the airlines box after box after box of liquor with an address to areas that I know are dry? How can that happen? I've never understood it. As many as 40 or 50 boxes.
Senator Halford, do you wish to respond?
Because we haven't passed the bill that was introduced a few days ago. I would want to point out one thing on this. It applies to sale, not possession provisions. I think that's an important distinction that might cause concern to some people.
Further debate. Debate's been excellent. I don't want to rush it. Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 rules pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. So committee substitute for Senate Bill 51 rules has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas with one excused absence. Next item on the calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 51 by the Senate Special Committee on Local and Regional Economic Opportunity requesting a support services priority for American carriers and bulk fuel suppliers servicing foreign processing vessels in the exclusive economic zone. The Resources Committee considers this resolution and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Spanish, Sturgeluski, Duncan, and Fisher. Zero fiscal note was attached. The Rules Committee considered this resolution recommending calendaring today. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Binkley, Hensley, and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Any amendments? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 51 be considered and engrossed, advance the third reading, and place in the final passage.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution number 51 is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Senate Joint Resolution number 51, requesting a support services priority for American carriers and bulk fuel suppliers servicing foreign processing vessels in the exclusive economic zone.
Discussion. Senator Sturgiluski.
Yes, I will go over the bill, would respond to questions, but just one kind of interesting little thing. Right now, in terms of bulk fuel, the community of Unalaska or Dutch Harbor sells about 40 million gallons a year. There's an estimate that there's 160 million gallons of fuel that are provided by offshore, many of those foreign ships coming in and selling it. So there's a tremendous potential to bring some of that onshore, and that's really kind of what's behind this whole thing, as well as the shipment of product. We've gotten information very recently that with the difference in the dollar, that the cold storage rates might be really very low, say at Dutch Harbor, in comparison to what they have to use to store that product in Japan. So there's tremendous potential in behind this. It's going to take a lot to implement it, but I would urge the members' support.
Further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 51 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So Senate Joint Resolution number 51 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas with one excused absence. Next item on the calendar.
Citations. Honoring Tom Burton by Representatives Swackhammer, Hanley, and Pierce, Senators Kurtula, Fisher, and Szymanski. In memoriam, Frank W. Harris by Representatives Phillips, Larson, Hanley, and Martin, Senators Sturgiluski, Kurtula, Ewing, Szymanski, and Halford.
Discussion on citations. Senator Coghill.
I move to ask unanimous consent that my name be put on the Frank W. Harris memoriam.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be shown as co-sponsor of the Frank W. Harris Memorial. Senator Josephson.
Madam President, I also move that my name be added to the citation for Frank W. Harris and ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, Senator Josephson will be shown as a co-sponsor of the Frank Harris citation. Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I move my name be added to the Tom Burton citation and the Frank Harris citation.
Without objection, Senator Kelly will be shown as a co-sponsor to the Tom Burton and the Frank Harris citations and memoriam. Senator Abboud.
The President, may I move the same request, please?
Both the citation and the memoriam.
Burton and Frank Harris.
Without objection, Senator Abboud will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to be on the Burton citation as well.
Without objection, Senator Halford will be shown as a co-sponsor to the Tom Burton citation. Senator Hensley.
Resolution.
Senator Hensley will be shown as a co-sponsor of the Frank Harris citation. Further discussion? Madam Secretary, without objection, I would like to be shown as a co-sponsor of the Frank Harris citation. Senator Coghill?
Madam President, proper and fitting at this time in discussion that I rise to talk just a little bit about the Frank Harris. I knew him very well. I served with him in the lower ranks of the Republican Party during the territorial days. Served with him in two or three of the national conventions. He was a great man. He had a strong belief in where he was coming from. But above all, I think for the Senate, he was a classic citizen legislator. He had a very strong conviction, and he was above reproach as to how he took that conviction on. And I think that although some of the people in this room probably disagree with his strong stance on the Capitol move, he took that into action. And I think that the record, not only in his legislative, but in his private and business life,
will show that he was always a very strong man for Alaska and believed in the private sector moving ahead.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion on the citation. Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President, I would also like to say a few words about Frank Harris. We were in opposite parties at a time when it meant something to be a Democrat or a Republican. And I can't remember seeing eye to eye with him on anything. But I was the first chairman, though, of the Capitol Site Selection Committee after the voters of the state voted to move the Capitol. It was a very difficult experience over a couple of years, but I must say, even though Frank Harris was a high-profile individual on the subject of moving the Capitol, he was always a gentleman, and I respected him very much.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation calendar.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Is there unfinished business? Senator Duncan.
President, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 347 at this time.
Without objection, the reconsideration motion on Senate Bill 347 will be brought up at this time.
Senate Bill number 347 by Senator Duncan, an act relating to the regulation of motor boat repairs.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we move Senate Bill 347 back to second reading for purpose of a specific amendment.
Why don't we reconsider it first, whether we want to reconsider it? Is automatic a reconsideration?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's before.
Would you restate your motion, Senator Duncan? I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 347 be moved to second reading for purpose of a specific amendment. Return to second reading.
Without objection, Senate Bill 347 is before the Senate in second reading. Read the bill, Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 347, an act relating to the regulation of motor boat repairs. I have an amendment number 1. Page 1, line 6 after motor boat, insert motor. Page 1, line 13 after motor boat, insert motor. Page 1, line 14, delete a new paragraph, insert new paragraphs. Page 1, line 19, after water, insert. Number 6, motorboat means a motor that is used or designed to be used to propel a motorboat.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move the amendment.
The amendment has been moved.
Asked unanimous consent.
There is objection, sir. Why don't you explain the amendment?
Okay. Thank you, Madam President. I will explain the amendment. What the amendment does is clarifies what we're covering in the consumer protection area as far as motorboats go. Yesterday, the discussion came up from the senator from Eagle River in a roundabout way as to what was really covered, and this is to clarify it. What we're covering with this amendment would be the engines, the motorboat engines, those mechanical things that propel the motorboat. And we're not covering the motorboat itself, the hulk, if that's the proper term, is not hard.
Hull.
Whatever. Anyway, Madam President, this is a clarification, and this does what was originally intended to be done. I think the other did also, but this makes it much more clear.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I would like to suggest to the clerk that semicolon be added after the motor, after insert motor, rather than to delete it there. It doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Senator. Consider that a technical amendment. Senator Duncan?
Madam President, what is he referring to? Where?
Senator Coghill?
It's motorboat motor is the way it's supposed to read.
Senator Coghill?
But after the word, you've got motor, you insert motors. There are motor, that's correct. But when you get down to line 13, what you're doing there is after motorboat semicolon, you're adding motor. And what you should have is that semicolon should be moved down.
Senator Duncan?
we pay the attorneys to clean these things up. I assume that's right. An attorney drafted this.
Senator Abood.
President, perhaps we'd get one of the English teachers out of the gallery to come and solve the problem, do the thing here, and get it over with.
So further discussion on Amendment Number 1. Is there any objection to unanimous consent being asked on Amendment Number 1? Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Senate Bill 347 is before us as amended for reconsideration. Is there discussion? Senator Eliason.
Madam President, motoring right along here, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 374 as amended be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place on final passage.
Thank you, sir. Is there further discussion? I know. We know. It's all right. Are you ready for the vote?
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Bill 347 as amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote on reconsideration. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. So Senate Bill 347 as amended has passed the Senate on reconsideration by a vote of 19 yeas with one excused absence. Senator Eliason.
Brief at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Back to order at 11:56. Senate will come back to order, please. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Kelly.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 333, an act relating to wage, salary, and benefit claims having priority in certain bank liquidations, be returned to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Without objection, Senate Bill 333, dealing with wage, salaries, and claims on certain bank employees, will be returned to the Labor and Commerce Committee. Further unfinished business. Senator Coghill.
Madam President,
I move and ask unanimous consent with the consent of the sponsor that my name be added to sponsor is Senate Bill 373, which is extending the life of the Advisory Committee on Federal Areas.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 373, continuing the Commission on Federal Areas. Senator Cotulla?
Move and ask unanimous consent that I'll be excused from a call to the House on Monday. I believe it's February 8th. I expect to be back, but my last year's sojourn didn't allow me to be back in time, and I would appreciate that opportunity just so that I'm within the...
Without objection, Senator, you will be excused from the call of the Senate on Monday, February 8th. Senator Fanning?
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on February 12th for state business and on February 25th through the 28th on personal business.
Senator Fanning, without objection, you will be excused from the call of the Senate on February 12th on state business and February 25th through 28th on personal business. Senator Helfert.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 360, an act repealing the termination date of the Delta Junction Bison Range, has a fiscal note. I would request an additional referral to finance.
Without objection, Senate Bill 360 with a fiscal note will be referred to the Finance Committee. Further unfinished business. Unfinished business. I get accused of rushing you. Senator Kelly, under announcements.
Madam President, in addition to the bills already posted, the Labor and Commerce will meet today at 3:30 and also consider Senate Bill 333, an act relating to wage, salary, etc.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Senator Jones.
Madam President, may we revert to unfinished business?
Not objections. The Senate will revert to unfinished business. Senator Jones.
All right. I move and ask unanimous consent. The prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objections, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Most appropriate motion. Senator Coghill.
Under announcements. Madam President, today, this afternoon from 1 o'clock until 5 o'clock, why we'll be continuing with our ANWR presentation of a joint meeting between the House and the Senate, both the Finance Committees and the Resource Committees, and this afternoon we'll hear from Assistant Secretary Horn, and then we will have a question and answer about 3 o'clock between Undersecretary Horn and Commissioner Brady. Then on February the 8th, we'll have Senate Concurrent Resolution 41 relating to further development of Alaska coal, and Senate Joint Resolution 57 relating to foreign fishing in the international waters of Bering Sea.
Further announcements. Senator Abood.
Today at 1:30 in the Butrovich room, that's a change from the Belts room, in the Butrovich room, SCR 55, establishing a United States Navy home port in Alaska. It will be a statewide teleconference. So I would suggest you all attend. And then Senate Bill 372 relating to the applicability of the Public Employees Relations Act to municipalities and political subdivisions. 1:30.
Thank you, sir. Senator Halford.
President, tomorrow at 9:30, the Senate Finance Committee will be hearing a presentation from Dr. Joseph Stanislaw of Cambridge Energy Research on long and short-term oil price outlook.
Further announcements? Further announcements? Do you have any announcements? Special orders. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of four for to say a few words about a former colleague of mine.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor.
Madam President, it seems that the favorite pastime of the newspaper's anchor is mayor bashing. And, you know, in some cases I think it's probably well directed, but in others when they say something like the mayor stands to gain from a bailout, I might remind the membership that I served a number of years in legislation with Mayor Tom Fink, as some of you have, and those of you that know Mayor Fink know that his integrity is unimpeachable. I think that he's a forthright man, sometimes to his disadvantage. But nevertheless, that we all know that Anchorage is having very difficult economic times, that he's looking for ways to solve these problems, and to imply that he's doing it for his own self-interest, I think is totally a misplaced. And I think that for example, say, well, the mayor shouldn't be doing this because he's involved, that's not the correct approach. And just saying he's doing it because he is involved is a wrong approach also. So what all I can conclude from these particular articles is the fact that whoever wrote about Mayor Fink obviously did not know his subject or also was indulging in sensationalism.
Thank you, sir. Senator Jones?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent I be given the privilege of the floor to speak on senatorial dilemmas.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor to speak on senatorial dilemmas. Senator Jones.
Madam President, it seems that one of our colleagues this morning got up and started out for work and walked out, and he generally drives a brown Subaru, but evidently he thought it snowed overnight, and he put his key into a white Subaru. And it fit. He drove it to work, parked it in his parking place, came into the building. In the process of going about their work this morning, that one of the staff members happened to be the owner of this white Subaru. He looked out the window and saw it parked in the senator's parking place. He has called the cops. And now
he reported it stolen.
He's reported it stolen. And I'm afraid now that this senator, who has had the opportunity to visit many correction institutions because of his chairmanship of a certain committee, might be visiting one of these for some time in another under other circumstances. So, you know, when he asked for a leave the call the Senate, please keep that under consideration.
Further special orders this morning? Senator Coggio.
President, just briefly, I move and ask unanimous consent I'd be given the privilege of the floor to discuss a piece of legislation, a popular piece of legislation introduced today.
Without objection, sir, you do have the privilege of the floor under special orders to talk about a popular piece of legislation you introduced today.
Senate Joint Resolution number 60, Madam President, is a piece of legislation that's long overdue. In fact, we argued it on the plenary floor of the Constitutional Convention a great deal, and that has to do with not only having a two-term schedule for the chief executive of our state, but also to put a two-term cap on legislators, and if they feel so disposed and their constituency feel that they've done a good job, why they can do such as they did with Governor Egan and send him back for a second term, a second time to go around on his term. And today I've introduced Senate Joint Resolution, which is a very simple amendment to the Constitution, and I hope that it gets view in the Senate, and it says the legislators may not serve for more than 8 consecutive years as a member of the Senate or as a member of the House of Representatives. And I know that we have a lot of our esteemed colleagues that have been around for a long time, but I want to impress upon them that my license plate is number 7, and I'm back for my second dip, and I think that for some of you younger fellows that it would be fine if you would do your 2 terms, then go back into the private sector and get acquainted with why you're here, and then come back. Maybe your legislative program will be a little different. Thank you, Madam President.
Further special orders. Senator Eliason, please.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand adjourned until 11 a.m. Thursday.
Without objection, the Senate...